Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, July 12, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the Wall Street stock sell-off continues this morning.
The IEA says the worst of the energy crisis may be ahead.
We are tracking the latest developments in the Twitter Elon Musk saga.
And the January 6th committee focuses on far-right groups and what former President Trump knew about their plans.
Officials want people in New York City to mask up again indoors. Plus, funeral services were held today for former Japanese Prime Minister Abe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Max Scherzer pitched the Mets to a big win in Atlanta, and Pete Alonso will be in next week's Home Run Derby.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 28 points. Dow futures down 223, and NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%, and the 10-year Treasury up 21/32. Yield 2.91%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.99%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, futures are adding to yesterday's losses, which saw all three major indexes fall. The hardest hit was the NASDAQ, which dropped 2.25%. Still, Alan Zafran, co-CEO at IEQ Capital, says growth stocks may be the place to invest.
We are looking forward at a slower growing economy, given what's happening with the Fed, given what's happened with a more heightened inflationary environment. And so it is a setup for growth stocks to outperform value stocks looking forward for quite some time.
IEQ Capital's Alan Zafran says the upcoming earnings season will be key for the markets.
Well, Nathan, the Wall Street sell-off spread to Asia overnight. Both Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index dropped more than 1%. And we get the recap from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Asian stocks fell on concerns over the economic outlook, high inflation, and China's issues with COVID. The tech sector struggled, sparking weakness in Japan, Hong Kong, and China. The dollar pushed higher, up near the levels that we saw in the 2020 panic over COVID. The euro has edged closer to parity with the greenback sapped by Europe's energy crisis and fears of recession. Treasuries gained, taking the 10-year yield well below 3%. Bonds also rallied in Australia. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Oil is moving lower this morning. West Texas Intermediate's down 2.3% to $101.66 a barrel. A COVID resurgence in China is adding to concerns about a global economic slowdown. Fatih Birol, executive director at the International Energy Agency, says the worst of the energy crisis may be ahead.
The world has never witnessed such a major energy crisis. It is interwoven by many factors, including the geopolitics. And I believe we might not have seen the worst of it yet.
IEA Executive Director Fatih Birol says this winter in Europe will be, quote, very, very difficult.
Well, Nathan, investors are closely watching for the release of June's Consumer Price Index tomorrow. The White House is keeping an eye on it, too. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the inflation data will be highly elevated, but she also notes it's backward-looking.
June's CPI data is already out of date because energy prices have come down substantially this month and are expected to fall further.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says food and gas prices continue to be impacted by the war in Ukraine. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg expect June prices to jump 8.8% compared to last year. That would be a fresh 40-year high.
Well, we're also continuing to follow the saga between Elon Musk and Twitter, Karen, after shares fell more than 11% yesterday. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Twitter lawyers are calling Elon Musk's termination of his $44 billion deal to by the company invalid and wrongful. They wrote it in a letter to his attorneys, and it's a preliminary step in the legal battle over the deal. Now, Musk agreed to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share, but he terminated the agreement because he believes Twitter misrepresented user data, claiming the number of spam bots on the platform is much higher than the 5% the company has disclosed. Bloomberg sources say Twitter aims to file suit early this week, and the agreement specifies any legal dispute dispute over the deal must be heard in Delaware. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, one other note on the world's richest man this morning. Elon Musk says Donald Trump should, quote, sail into the sunset and forget about running for president again. In a series of tweets, Musk claimed that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would easily defeat President Biden. He also told his 100 million followers that there was too much drama when former President Trump was in office.
Well, speaking of drama, Karen, your testimony on last year's attack at the U.S. Capitol rolls on in Washington. And up next, the House January 6th committee will focus on the role of extremists in the insurrection. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Committee member Jamie Raskin says it will continue building on the case that Donald Trump had a hand in trying to overthrow the results of the election and led to the events that day on January 6th. Raskin says it will focus on what's become known as Team Crazy, a group of people around Trump, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, among them. Raskin says one of the meetings was unlike anything in American history. Now, the committee has also announced postponement of Thursday's hearing because it is getting so much new information on White House ties. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. In corporate news this morning, San Francisco-based Gap has fired its CEO. Sonia Singhal was dismissed after 2.5 years on the job. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The apparel company is struggling to leave operational challenges behind it. Chairman Bob Martin is taking over immediately as CEO on an interim basis. Gap shares are down 50% this year, compared with a 30% drop for the S&P 500 retailing index. Singhal took over in early 2020, right before COVID roiled the business and demand. Prior to that, she was in charge of the company's Old Navy brand. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And job cuts are coming at Microsoft. The layoffs affect less than 1% of the workforce and span a variety of groups, including consulting and customer and partner solutions. Microsoft says the cuts were not spurred by economic factors. Back in May, the company also slowed hiring at its Windows and Office groups. S&P futures down 27 points. NASDAQ futures down 72. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 69 degrees in Central Park. Problems headed to Newark Airport. There's an accident southbound Route 21 at 3rd Avenue. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. New concerns about COVID, Michael.
That is correct, Nathan. The Department of Health is continuing to urge New York City residents to wear masks in all public indoor settings and in crowded areas outdoors because of an uptick in COVID. It comes as the latest Omicron variant, BA.5, has become the dominant strain in the U.S. This New Yorker says people got lax about masking.
I think the city is, the government's going to have a hard time getting people back into masks.
Meanwhile, about 2 out of 3 people in the U.S. are fully vaccinated. Harvard Medical School professor Dr. John Brownstein says the evolution of variants unresponsive to immunity from previous infections means we are likely going to have to give up on the idea of herd immunity.
You're seeing this virus evolve quicker and quicker, and we'll probably see another variant in the fall. So the main question really is, can we avert really serious outcomes like death and hospitalizations?
Epidemiologist Dr. John Brownstein is also the chief innovation officer at Boston Children's Hospital. Police in New York City are looking for a man they say is targeting homeless people in a string of stabbing attacks. The latest victim, a 28-year-old woman, attacked early yesterday. Police say the same man can be seen on surveillance cameras in all 3 locations where homeless people have been stabbed in the last week. The first stabbing was on July 5th. A 34-year-old man resting on a bench was stabbed and later died from his injuries. 3 days later, a 59-year-old homeless man was stabbed in the abdomen. Japanese people have bid their final goodbye to former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A family funeral was held at a temple days after his assassination that shocked the nation. Abe, the country's longest-serving prime minister, was gunned down Friday during a campaign speech. The first image from NASA's new space telescope is the deepest view of the universe ever captured. The image from the James Webb Space Telescope was unveiled at the White House, President Joe Biden.
Light from the oldest galaxies, the oldest documented light in the history of the universe, from over 13 billion, let me say that again, 13 billion years ago.
Today, four more galactic shots will be released from the telescope. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nation.
Such a cool picture, too.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Let's check in with John Stanshar for the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Mets paying Max Scherzer $43 million a year. They're doing that for games like last night. In Atlanta, the Mets lead over the Braves once 10.5 games had dwindled to 1.5 thanks to Atlanta's 29-8 record since June 1st. They've got the best offense in the National League, but Scherzer shut them down, allowed only one hit over the first six innings. He struck out 9. Scherzer and the Mets beat the Braves 4-1.
You want to play good baseball, especially this time of year. They're a great team over there, and you want to come out there and play your best baseball. And when you can collect wins against them, it's kind of a measuring stick win, and it's a good feeling. So, but like you said, we're in one game here in July. We got to go out there and play. Great month of July. So.
Mets got a home run from Luis Guillorme, RBI double from Pete Alonso. Pete will go for the home run derby. Three-peat. He's never not won a winner of the last two. The Braves' Ronald Acuna Jr. will be one of his competitors next Monday in L.A. Rest of the field not yet known. Yankees tonight host the Cincinnati Reds. As the British Open gets ready to tee off Thursday, St. Andrews. Still much talk about the new LIV Tour. Word that the antitrust division of the Justice Department is investigating whether the PGA Tour used anti-competitive practices against the LIV Tour. The PGA says it expected this and is confident there was no wrongdoing. The guys who jumped to LIV, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, they are playing the Open Championship, as is Tiger Woods. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
Thank you, John. S&P futures down 22 points. Dow futures down 198. NASDAQ futures down 45. The dollar continuing to strengthen this morning. The euro hit parity against the dollar earlier this morning. We'll look at the impact, what it means for markets. Jane Foley, head of FX strategist at Rabobank, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today, chance for afternoon showers and storms. Some could be strong, going up to near 90. Sunshine near 90 tomorrow. Right now, 69 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We have some headlines crossing the Bloomberg. Peloton Interactive to stop building its bikes and treadmills at its own factories and rely solely on partners for manufacturing, marking one of the most dramatic steps yet to simplify its operations and reduce costs. Shares are up in early trading about 0.8%. Also watching shares of PepsiCo raising its outlook for the second time in as many quarters, saying it expects revenue to grow 10% this year as consumer demand remains resilient. Those shares are up 0.9%. This morning. Futures this morning are falling with S&P futures down about 21 points. Dow futures down 188. NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany down 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 20 30 seconds. Yield 2.91%. The yield on the two-year is at 3%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.6% on $2.73 at $101.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change at $1732.60 an ounce. Now the euro is at 1.0016. Six against the dollar, British pound 1.1841, and the yen 136.89. Bitcoin this morning lower, down 3.6% at $19,670. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Another public hearing today by the Congressional Committee investigating the deadly January 6th insurrection. This hearing will focus on the involvement of white supremacist hate groups in the attack on the Capitol and feature testimony by former White House counsel Pat Cipollone, whom investigators say corroborates former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. People in Japan have bid their final goodbye to former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A family funeral was held at a temple days after his assassination that shocked the nation. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Break. And as we continue to see stocks sell off this morning, a lot of the story has been the flight to safety. Bonds are on the rise and the dollar continues to strengthen. Joining us more for more on the currency picture this morning, we're joined by Jane Foley, Executive Director, Head of FX Strategy at Rabobank. Jane, good morning. I know you've probably been watching very closely for euro-dollar parity. We did reach it moments ago. It looks like the euro is starting to bounce back just a bit against the dollar. What does euro-dollar parity mean for this market?
Well, it's a big psychological level and probably a big level for the options market. But I think for the ECB also, clearly if you have a weaker euro, then that's not particularly great for your inflation, particularly when you're importing a lot of energy. And, of course, energy is what this story is all about. Yesterday, as you'll be aware, we had the taking down of the Nord Stream 1 pipeline for cleaning, for maintenance. And politicians and speculators alike are fearing that Putin won't turn that pipeline back on as scheduled in 10 days' time, or at least if he does, then maybe the flow through it will be lessened, and then we'll have less gas in Europe for the winter, and then we'll have recession. So really, whether or not we can drop through parity very much depends on that decision, that pipeline, and what happens in 10 days' time with Putin and gas supply.
So then is this risk of recession a bigger concern for the eurozone than it is for the dollar in your or for the U.S. in your view?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, we have been forecasting recession over this winter for the eurozone for a while, and I think perhaps more commentators are seeing this, but it's very much dependent on energy, because if you go back just a couple of weeks ago, we had the German economy minister warning that we could see rationing in Germany, and that would be amongst some of the big industrialized energy-hungry companies. And that would be obviously to protect the gas supplies or the energy supplies for consumers. And clearly, if you had someone Germany's big energy being rationed in terms of energy, that's what would bring out slower growth and the recession risk. And you can translate that also to Italy, another big industrialized economy here in Europe. And recession then would highlight, as it always does in Europe, highlight the differences between the eurozone countries and focus on the highly debted nations. And then we'd have more conversation around fragmentation and also how big a window does the ECB have to hike interest rates if there is this risk of recession going into the winter? So that's all combined into a negative scenario for the euro at a time when safe haven flow is really supporting the dollar.
Well, what are the options for the ECB at this point? Could we see intervention sooner to try to head off some of these concerns?
Well, we're not going to see FX intervention, but we could have intervention to try and store up confidence. And this is where it gets very, very tricky for the ECB, because we have this higher inflation print. We know that they want to move into this era of tighter monetary policy. They've already signaled that they'll be hiking interest rates 25 basis points this month, maybe 50 basis points in September, but at the same time, they're worried about fragmentation. They want to hold together market confidence, and that involves some degree of protection for these highly indebted countries. But in a way, that goes against the grain. I mean, it's a bit like saying, well, yes, you know, we want to tighten monetary policy, but nobody can fail, and that is perhaps a little bit counterintuitive, and certainly it means it's a very tough line for the ECB to walk in terms of getting this policy right. And because of the complications for the ECB policy, again, you know, the market is looking at this and worried about this, and this is all weighing on the euro.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Jane, but does a stronger dollar affect anything for the Fed?
Well, it does. I mean, a stronger policy is part of the monetary tightening policy. So you could say the more the dollar strengthens, the less they already have to do in terms of actual policy measures. You could argue that a stronger dollar does some of that heavy lifting already. So it all does play into how much the market is likely to forecast for interest rate hikes during this cycle.
Thanks for this, Jane. Great having you on with us this morning. Jane Foley, Executive Director, Head of FX Strategy at Rabobank, where a lot of the story this morning is euro-dollar parity. Right now, the euro is trading at 1.00. 1.17 against the dollar. We did hit parity between the euro and the dollar earlier this morning. S&P futures are down 19 points. Dow futures are down 182. NASDAQ futures are lower by 40 points. And we continue to watch inversion between 2-year and 10-year yields. Right now, the 10-year is up 20, 30 seconds with the yield almost 2.92%, I should say. It is at 2.92. The 2-year yield is at 3.00%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny, maybe some strong storms later this afternoon on our way up to near 90 degrees. High near 90, sunshine tomorrow. Could see an afternoon shower Thursday. Right now, 70 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.08% to 3.08%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures are lower, adding to yesterday's losses, which saw all three major indexes slump. Mike Vogelzang, chief investment officer at CapTrust, says at this point it's unclear how markets are pricing in a recession.
This recession has been so anticipated that it's hard to believe the market hasn't discounted most of it. Maybe the surprise will be that it's really, really a negative and difficult and deep recession. We don't think so. It also could be that we don't really hit a recession. We're like a stone skipping off the top of the pond and moving on and back up again. That's the question, I think. And I think we're going to know a lot more about that as we head into earnings season later this week and then the next couple of weeks.
Mike Vogelzang at CapTrust says forward guidance from companies will be watched closely over the next few weeks.
Well, the Wall Street sell-off spreading overseas, Karen. Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index both fell more than 1% overnight amid concerns about inflation and COVID in China. Oil's moving lower, too. West Texas Intermediate's down 2.5% at $101.46 a barrel.
Investors are looking ahead to the release of June's Consumer Price Index tomorrow, Nathan, and so is the White House. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says prices continue to be impacted by the war in Ukraine.
We got here with the increase of gas prices and food prices because of Mr. Putin's war in Ukraine.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says the latest inflation data will be elevated, but also notes it's backward-looking.
Now, we're still following the saga between Elon Musk and Twitter this morning, Karen, after shares fell 11% yesterday. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live. Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Twitter lawyers are calling Elon Musk's termination of his $44 billion deal to buy the company invalid and wrongful. They wrote it in a letter to his attorneys, and it's a preliminary step in the legal battle over the deal. Musk agreed to buy Twitter for $54.20 a share, but he terminated the agreement, claiming the number of spam bots on the platform is much higher than the company disclosed. Bloomberg sources say Twitter aims to file suit early this week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And sticking with corporate news, job cuts are coming at Microsoft. Layoffs are affecting less than 1% of its workforce, and the company says cuts were not spurred by economic factors. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 633 on Wall Street, 69 degrees in Central Park. Another accident, southbound West Side Highway at 72nd. We'll tell you more in traffic. First, Michael Barr on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Big day again on Capitol Hill today, Michael.
Yes, it is, Nathan. The January 6th committee is preparing to highlight how violent extremist groups answered what one lawmaker says was Donald Trump's siren call to come to Washington and attack the Capitol. The panel is set to convene today. The committee is probing whether extremist groups coordinated with White House allies ahead of the violence. Police in New York City are looking for a man they say stabbed a 28-year-old homeless woman early Monday. They say the suspect is behind similar attacks in the past week, including one that was fatal. Police say they have video and photos of the same man at all three locations. The latest Omicron variant, BA.5, has become the dominant strain in the U.S. as COVID cases increase. Cities like New York and Los Angeles are asking people to mask up indoors and in crowded areas. This New Yorker says, though, masking is not enough to avoid COVID.
People should remember, even more important is washing your hands. That's actually as important, if not more important, than the masking.
Health officials across the nation say the U.S. is still averaging about 100,000 cases a day. A family funeral was held today for Japan's former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. A motorcade, including a hearse, slowly drove by a packed crowd to the funeral. This man was among the crowd of mourners.
Mr. Abe is one of the greatest prime minister in the Japanese history. And a lot of people look up to him, a lot of people. And we're so sad that we lost him.
Only Abe's widow, other close family members, and senior party leaders, including Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, attended the service. The chief judge of New York's Court of Appeals says she will step down after more than 6 years presiding at the state's highest court. Judge Janet DeFiore, who is 66, says she will leave at the end of August and move on to the next chapter of her professional life. There is a shakeup in the lead role with the Broadway show Funny Girl. The show says actress Lea Michele will take over as Fanny Bryce in early September after Beanie Feldstein's abrupt announcement that she would be leaving the role earlier than expected. Feldstein on Instagram says that her dream run as Bryce would end on July 31st instead of late September. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Mets went down to Atlanta, well aware that 15 of their last 76 games are against the team that's not only defending World Series champs, but the hottest team in MLB, 29-8 since June 1st. Mets still in first place, but their lead over the onrushing Braves was just a game and a half, smallest since mid-April. Thankfully for the series opener, the Mets had Max Scherzer on the mound. Pitched seven innings, allowed only one run, three hits, struck out nine. Mets beat the Braves 4-1, so Scherzer, two starts since missing 7 weeks, and he's only allowed one run. He was asked the advice he gave to his younger teammates.
Play off the adrenaline. You get adrenaline, play off of it. Don't be shy away from it. Bring it on. This is what you play the game for. You want to be in these situations. You want to be facing the best teams in the league. You want to be in races. You got to rise to the occasion and match it. So they have a atmosphere like this tonight, playing in this type of environment. It's only good to continue playing this and feed off of
Pete Alonso, one of four Mets named to play next week's All-Star game in L.A. And Alonso announced he'll also be in the Home Run Derby next Monday. He's won the last two. Yankees only once this season have lost three games in a row off the back-to-back blown leads in Boston. The Yanks home tonight to play the Cincinnati Reds. The NBA expected to make official that the play-in tourney that's been used the last two seasons will become a permanent part of the NBA postseason. Four teams in each conference vying for those last two spots of the first round. Denver Broncos have new owners. It was revealed that part of the new ownership group, former National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Lots going on. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, especially for some corporate names. Where do you want to start?
I mean, let's start with Gap here, because this is a big one that I think is going to be moving the index. It comes into a major theme. Remember, retailers broadly are struggling. Consumer sentiment broadly is low. So Gap actually came out and they fired their CEO. Forget this, failing to rescue the struggling retailer. This is important as we talk about rising costs and a lot of these retailers having to give away, essentially, a lot of their merchandise, really putting a lot of them more on the clearance racks, which a lot more sales just to get rid of some of that inventory, even if it's shipping them across locations. Once again, just to get rid of them. What that does, though, is in addition to decreasing the inventory, it also hurts their bottom line. So it is kind of a double-edged sword there. Nevertheless, it didn't quite work out for Gap. Gap, in that firing, moved lower. They also, by the way, talked about their net sales and said that, Nathan, I'm just going to read this to you because I don't want to get these numbers down wrong.
Okay.
Their second quarter net sales are down about a high single-digit range. So to see that kind of drop in the second quarter net sales is a pretty big deal. GPS is your ticker for Gap. It's down about 6% this morning, Nathan, but we should also talk about Peloton, another major company story. PTON is your ticker. Shares are moving lower. Peloton is stopping their in-house bike production as part of their big turnaround. Now, this is a really big deal because as we talk about Peloton, just all of the issues that it's had, it wasn't too long ago that we saw the commercial and the kind of legal battle there that it's been having to deal with. But remember, this was a major pandemic trade. A lot of people were exercising at home. A lot of people said, well, buying Peloton shares, it's a no-brainer, until you saw this complete reversal in the stock price. Nevertheless, that move continues down 1.4%. In the environment where you have consumers struggling broadly and retailers struggling broadly, Pelotons are still seen as a luxury product. So if you're talking about recession, if you're talking about inflation, do you really want to spend your money on a Peloton? At least that's the fear driving those shares right now and driving their turnaround plan. So to see them stop that in-house production really speaks to the fact that there's a little bit of pain in the cost story there.
And just speaking about real quickly, in terms of costs, we just got earnings from PepsiCo, and those look pretty good.
They do look pretty good. And this is a good thing to keep in mind because PepsiCo is not just the maker of Pepsi, obviously, but they make their massive snack brand. They're a massive food brand as well. And remember, there's that really fun ratio of snacks versus drinks during the pandemic. But they actually raised their outlook for the second time this year, saying they're expecting their revenue to grow 10%. They're actually saying consumer demand remains resilient. But remember, how much are you spending? Are you spending as much on a Peloton, or are you spending as much on snacks and drinks?
That's why they call it staples versus discretionary. Thank you, Kriti. Bloomberg Radio TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning on a day where it looks like we're going to see more losses for stocks. S&P futures down 24 points. Dow futures down 217. NASDAQ futures lower by 55 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.92%. The yield on the 2-year 3.01. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Could see some strong thunderstorms today as we head up near 90 degrees. We'll be near 90 tomorrow under sunshine. Can't rule out an afternoon shower by Thursday. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 209 points. S&P's dropped 23, while NASDAQ futures are off by 44. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.92%. Gold is little changed. Oil trading lower. And Bitcoin is under pressure, falling 3.6%. Japan dropped 1.8% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. After the bell last night, it was reported that Bill Ackman will wind down his SPAC after not finding a target company. And regarding earnings this morning, Pepsi boosted its outlook. In other news, Goldman Sachs ditched its bullish copper stance, and Peloton will stop building its bikes and treadmills at its own factories. Wrapping things up, Union Pacific was cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. American Express cut to equate at Morgan Stanley, and NVIDIA and AMD price targets were cut over at KeyBank. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And just a quick check of those shares this morning. You mentioned Peloton down 1.2% in early trading. PepsiCo is up 1.6%. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The January 6th panel holds another public hearing today. It is expected to explore whether extremist groups worked in coordination with the White House allies in an attempt to overthrow the result of the presidential election through a political coup and the mobilization of an armed violent mob. President Biden is set to meet with Mexico's president at the White House today. Later, President Biden is looking for cheaper oil prices on his Middle East trip this week, which will include a stop in Saudi Arabia. In baseball, the Mets won, the Red Sox, A's, and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. In Shanghai, there are fears the city is headed back into lockdown a little more than 5 weeks after exiting a two-month ordeal. The city reported 59 new coronavirus cases on Monday. That's the fourth day in a row that case numbers have been above 50. The detection of a new sub-strain of the Omicron variant triggered two more rounds of mass testing in Shanghai. It's the first time human beings have seen a distant galaxy cluster as it appeared more than 4 billion years ago in such vivid detail. President Biden unveiled one of the first full-color images from the James Webb Space Telescope. The telescope was sent into orbit roughly a million miles from Earth late last year. And Amazon kicking off its annual Prime Day sales event. The company has long used the two-day event to lure people to its Prime membership, for which Amazon recently raised the price to $139 a year from $119 a year. Amazon does not disclose total Prime Day sales, though growth estimates for last year's event had ranged from 7 to 9%. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include the White House warning tomorrow's inflation data will be highly elevated, the January 6th committee focusing on what Trump knew about extremist groups, and the president to talk migration and security with his counterpart from Mexico. Let's bring back Joe Matthew, Bloomberg Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, as we mentioned, the White House is trying to get ahead of tomorrow's CPI data, but that begs the question, what is the White House doing to get ahead of inflation?
Well, at this point, it's all about messaging, because the White House has really tried to swing at the ball as many times as it can and just hasn't really been able to get to this issue. That's why they remind us, Nathan, every day that this is a global phenomenon. They say, in fact, inflation is even worse in other countries. But of course, this is an issue, a major problem for Democrats and for President Biden as we get closer to November. They're saying that the CPI will be highly elevated tomorrow. They're just trying to take the sting out of this. And they did the same thing a month ago, saying that, look, it's not going to look good. It's not going to be pretty, that headline number, but take a look at that core number. And then they tell us it's already out of date anyway, because, of course, all economic data is backward looking. But that is the point here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. The next report might be better.
Well, you mentioned that the White House has taken a lot of swings at this. We've heard talk about a potential cap on Russian oil prices, looking to potentially take action on Chinese tariffs, the economic package that's under discussion in the Senate. What of any of these have any chances of moving forward?
Well, or having an impact. And on Thursday, Jake Sullivan will be talking as well about efforts that have been taken. This is the National Security Advisor, efforts that have been taken to increase competition, smooth out the supply chain. This is a conversation that's been going on since way before the war in Ukraine. This is something that comes from COVID, of course, and from the heating of the economy based on the stimulus that was passed coming out of the pandemic. It's very difficult to try to get your arms around this as a political agency here, in the sense that we're talking about the White House or Congress for that matter. The markets are likely to handle this, and that is why President Biden is headed, in part at least, for the Middle East when he sits down with oil producers in Saudi Arabia on Friday. He's going to be asking them to start pumping more. The question is, would it actually have an impact on prices, because our refining capacity is close to maxed out?
Well, that is the big question, isn't it, Joe? Because we've also heard from the White House that at least it thinks that Saudi Arabia has more room to produce. So what's the message that President Biden's going to be sending here?
The Saudis and the UAE, they together have about 3 million barrels of spare capacity, if I can use that term. That's according to their data. There are skeptics, by the way, including the CEO of Shell, who said just a couple of weeks ago, you know, this is not what a lot of people think. There's not as much oil available as some people might suspect. The fact is, though, even if President Biden scores a deal here with Saudis, with the UAE, or just OPEC as a whole, We have to remember a couple of things. Number one, they have been increasing production. In fact, the Saudis agreed to, as almost a gesture to the Biden administration, to increase production and get us back to where we were pre-COVID. That has happened. And even if we add to that, the question again is what happens to gasoline? Crude oil is one thing, but we can't refine a lot more crude into gas unless they start taking refineries off of mothballs, Nathan, and there's no indication that's about to happen.
Yeah, certainly doesn't seem to be the case anytime soon. Let's turn to what's happening, Joe, on Capitol Hill today. Another January 6th committee hearing, and I'm guessing the words will be wild could come up a bit.
That's right. The infamous tweet from then President Trump, and who responded to that tweet? What led up to it? Who responded to it? There was a meeting in the White House that we know about with Michael Flynn, with Rudy Giuliani, and Sidney Powell, in which they talked about seizing voting machines. Right? They talked about the potential for invoking martial law, and it was shortly after that meeting that President Trump sent that tweet. Did the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, those two militant groups simply read Twitter and show up? Or was there a more concerted effort here to get them into town? Did Michael Flynn or Rudy Giuliani or some of these advisors to the president reach out to those groups? That's the type of conversion that Jamie Raskin, the congressman on that panel, has been talking about. And today they attempt to connect the dots. It's unclear exactly, though, exactly where those dots are going to fall. One of the former spokespeople, if I can use that term, for the Oath Keepers is going to be testifying about this very thing today.
Interesting. That'll be one to watch for sure. In our last minute here, Joe, before the president heads to the Middle East, he's going to be meeting with Mexican President Lopez Obrador. What's on the agenda there?
You can probably guess it's going to have a lot to do with the border in coming about a week after the Supreme Court issued its ruling on the Remain in Mexico policy. It's important for these two leaders to get in the same room together. And it's interesting that he's going to be in town today and even beyond the president leaving tonight on his trip to the Middle East. But they're going to announce some joint actions to improve infrastructure and cooperation along the border. Migration and expanding legal migration will be issue number one, according to the White House.
Immigration, January 6th, inflation, lots to get to.
Nothing controversial here.
No, not at all. With Sound On with Joe Matthew every weekday, 5 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. Of course, our Washington correspondent, Joe, as always, thanks for the update ahead of all that. And you can read much more on all these stories, Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open, it is risk off this morning, and the 2 and 10-year inversion briefly reached 10 basis points. Right now, the 2-year yield is just shy of 3.01%. The yield on the 2-year right now, 2.91%. S&P futures are down 28 points. Dow futures down 257. NASDAQ futures lower by 56 points. The crude oil situation, a sell-off continues. NYMEX crude now below $100 a barrel, down 4.5% at $99.33. Brent is at $102.45. That is a drop of 4.35%. The euro briefly reached parity against the dollar. Right now it's trading at 1.0023. Bloomberg Surveillance next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.